I think we should eliminate the filibuster for Roe, and we need, and get us to the point where we, 51 votes would be what we need to actually put back in law the protections for reproductive freedom.
I read an article this morning about this very thing, and it was quoting Jennifer Lawrence, who was mentioning how it was so important to make sure that we, you know, protect Roe v. Wade, and abortion is literally on the ballot, and that this was all about, you know, making sure women's protections, etc. And that's why Kamala Harris, as you know, says that she's supporting the elimination of the filibuster because it's all about the protections of women. But the issue is that eliminating the filibuster would is in super destructive, which we've talked about ad nauseum on the show. It's super destructive. And it doesn't change the fact that they lost an election for which you had two Supreme Court nominations emerge, and Trump filled, as is, you know, that's what happens when you're president. You get to fill this. And so fill those vacancies on the court. And that's what the people wanted. And furthermore, I mean, all of this stuff with abortion, I mean, this is pretty much in line with where the public is. But I was reading this piece from Jennifer Lawrence, and she was saying that she was voting for Kamala Harris because, and she was telling everyone that, you know, it's very important to, you know, to remember that abortion is on the ballot today, and abortion is coming up in November. Abortion is on the ballot, and it's super important. And that's why we have to vote for her, because we have to make sure that Trump's going to ban it. Trump didn't ban it. It's a Supreme Court decision, and then states have been going on. And then in the second paragraph of that piece, it was funny. Jennifer Lawrence was saying that she was mad that whenever she talked about this issue, people accuse her of not going to school or not finishing school and saying that she's stupid. And she's like, I'm not stupid. I've, you know, learned experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sounds like you're pretty damn stupid when you sit here and say that Trump is going to ban abortion and that it has something to do with the Supreme Court and all of this other stuff. You sound pretty dumb when you say these things. And I was just thinking about that. We'll talk more about that coming up. But welcome to the program, Dana Lash with you. And we're at the top of this first hour on Wednesday. And we got a lot to get into. We're going to get into this execution that was in Missouri yesterday. I've read a lot about this case. I haven't talked about it. I wanted to see kind of what ended up happening. You know, if it stayed, if the guy's executed. I remember this case. It was in 1998, and I was a freshman in college, and I remember this case because I had a friend who lived not far from where the stabbing took place, and I just remember. We're going to get on this Marcellus Williams case. We're also going to talk the latest about Israel. I got election stuff. I got polling. I'm going to be going over polling every day at some point in the first hour. And so just to keep you up to date. And I sent out in the newsletter, I sent out a notice about it saying that, you know, I'm going to deep dive into the polling. I don't want to just hammer you with a bunch of polls if you're a subscriber over at the Substack newsletter, chapter and verse. I don't want to just hammer you with a bunch of polls. I want to be able to talk through them with you because some of them are better than others, as we talked about yesterday. And so I want to make sure that you're getting is this a legit poll? Is this something I should freak out about? So we'll get into that as well coming up. But again, good to be with you. Top of the hour. You can find us also channel 347 DirecTV. You can also see us over at X and Rumble, where the chat happens, all of that good stuff. So a number of things, as we said, the campaign is going on, and Kamala Harris wants to get rid of the filibuster. This has cost her support from Joe Manchin. But do you think that she cares about having support from Joe Manchin? I don't know. Does she? Joe Manchin says that he's not going to endorse her because she's wanting to gut the filibuster over abortion. And he said that, you know, dropping, because you're lowering the threshold from 60 to just a simple 51 to push over, to advance, I guess, to advance whatever they want to do with regards to abortion, which is just so weird to me that this is like the hill she's now picking. This is the fight she's now picking. Audio soundbite 5. This was Manchin when he was asked about this. This is what he said yesterday evening. Listen.
I think I've been very clear my whole career is that the 60 vote threshold that we basically operate under in the Senate is essential.
Would you endorse her for president then?
I'm not endorsing.
Ooh, that's a big thing for him, the filibuster. It should be a big thing for everybody, but it's a big thing for him, the filibuster. So he said, yeah, I'm not looking to endorse her. Not after this nonsense. Not looking to endorse. Which I get. Now, she's expected to make a trip to the border in Arizona. She actually going to go to the border this time? I think that's a $1 million question. She's expected to go to the border. And I guess she kind of went, didn't she sort of go the last time that she went, it was to El Paso, but she never actually went to the border. It was just a sanitized part of town and they cleaned everything up. I don't know if that they're going to do the same thing. But she's expected to have a campaign stop in Arizona. The Democrats are very much treating like a battleground state and potentially give remarks there. That's according to the New York Times. And it was in 21 when she was in El Paso, a piece that I have here from Reuters. But she's, you know, the borders are. That's kind of a dumb move. Is it a dumb move for her to make a border visit when she's trying to get away from being the borders are? Think about it. Is it? Because you're opening up questions about, well, what did you do about the border when you were vice president? What did you do? Right? Is that, or is it, does she just need to embrace it because Democrats are concerned about the border anyway? I'm confused. What, I don't know. I'm confused about it.
I think it's all about optics.
Optics. And it's, I don't know. She's not going to take any press questions. She didn't hold any, when she was at, the last time when she was in El Paso, she didn't hold any public events and she did not take any questions from the press. And the only thing that she did when she was when she was in Guatemala in 2021, that's when she said, told illegal immigrants, don't come to the United States. That was where that big old that famous response came from. But she's expected to go to the border. In the meantime, I've got to play the soundbite of Trump. I put it in audio a little bit late, but Trump he's making his campaign stops. Out of all of the campaign stops that he's done, I think I found my favorite soundbite. I have found, and it's hard to do, I have found my absolute favorite soundbite. Trump he's speaking at an event and he's talking about how all of this stuff is going to hell. And here's Joe Biden in Delaware at his beach house and he's sleeping on the beach. So that's the context of these remarks. This is now my new favorite soundbite from this election cycle. Go ahead.
I think Biden lies awake at night thinking, how are we going to get Europe to pay? No, he goes to sleep. Here's a guy. How do you sleep on the beach when you have cameras on? I will never sleep on the beach in front of live television, I promise.
That's a campaign promise if ever I heard one. That is now my favorite soundbite for this whole election cycle. I will never sleep on the beach in front of the nation on live television. It'll never happen. You know what, though? I was thinking about it. There is something to it. If I was the leader of the free world, I don't know that I would want to be pictured doing random everyday things, particularly sleeping on the beach. I would want to maintain the optic of being a badass. I mean, just think about this. And I'm not saying be like, you know, the commies over in Russia. I'm not saying that. But Biden's pictured, you never saw Reagan sleeping on the beach. Really, you didn't see anybody. You didn't even see Obama sleeping on the beach, but you've seen Biden snoring away. I don't know how many times, how many different times he's been to the beach. There's tons of photos of him sleeping, just, you know, his mouth gaping open. It's weird. And when you compare it to like Russia, they would take pictures. They would literally set up these insane photo ops of Vladimir Putin where he was like shirtless on horseback or what was he doing? He was doing some martial arts and he's wearing his black belt and he's like doing some martial arts and
was
taking
he on a horse or a bear? Which was it?
The bear is the Photoshop, okay, but he was actually on a horse. Then there was the one that, oh my gosh, this is one of the funniest stories ever. There was one story, and this is a real story, hands to sky. but they set it up, right? It happened, but it was totally orchestrated, where he was supposedly hunting up in the Siberian forests. And there were apparently like a gaggle of reporters just that happened to be up there for unknown reasons. We have no idea. And these, you know, innocent gaggle of reporters, in Russian reporters walking around in the Siberian forest for whatever reason. And it was Vladimir Putin that spied some kind of cougar or puma or something like that. And just before it was going to lunge and rip their throats open, he killed it. Sean killed it. And they're like, wow, Vladimir Putin saved these reporters. He's a real friend to the press. I kid you not. That is a real story. But that's not even, that's the goofiest one. The second goofiest one. This, I got to pull this up because this is also a real, and there's pictures of it too. He was in the Dead Sea. Yeah, he shot it with a trank. He saved these reporters shot this thing with a trank. He uncovered these artifacts. I know. So he was at this like excavation site, and he went diving and brought up these completely cleaned off artifacts it was somewhere in the Black Sea. And they just couldn't believe, you know, he's such an expert diver, Putin. And he comes back up from the water and he's burying these like gold vessels that just happened to be cleaner than all of the other things that had actually been brought up to be excavated. I was amazed, right, Kane? Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, those are the kind of optics, like they go to such great lengths to make their leaders not look dumb. Now, less or so in other parts of the world. Not in the United States, where Biden, with his, you know, fat ass is on the beach, mouth gaping open, like just, you know, it's just awkward. I don't want to see the leader of the free world shirtless on the beach, his mouth gaping open, right? His toes skyward. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to see his bare feet. I don't even want to see my president in sandals, suits all the time. I don't even want to see it. Is that mean? I don't feel like it is. You just have a certain expectation when you're in this office. You are of the people, but the office transforms you into being something more, a representative of the people. And so act accordingly. No one wants to see you in your gym trunks. No one wants to see you on the beach. No one wants to see you doing average everyday things. We don't want to see you looking weak or common in any way in terms of not being able to rise above all the other tyrants in the world. You have to look better. You have to dress better. You have to seem coherent, none of which Democrats have right now. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A retired judge killed himself at his Orange County home right as the FBI apparently arrived to arrest him in Orange County, New York. They apparently were looking at him in a connection to a corruption case. He had been under investigation for taking $63,000 in bribes. He was 72 years old. He apparently pulled a gun on an agent who fired off a shot, and then he barricaded himself in his house. So, wow. Let's see. This, Sam Elliott I'm going to save this because Sam Elliott endorses Kamala Harris. I know. Are you surprised? Sam Elliott. I don't know. I am and I'm not, because Sam Elliott has always kind of been, he and like Kris Kristofferson, they give off the vibes of being like Old West Americana, but they're big old Marxists.
At least apolitical.
Huh?
Or at least apolitical.
Yeah, or at least apolitical. But he goes right into it. I don't know. We're gonna come back to this along with the J Law thing. Apparently, Sean Combs and Sam P Diddy or Diddy, whatever the hell that the pederast name is, Sam Bankman-Fried are sleeping in the same Brooklyn jail cell. They happen to be placed in the same dorm style cell with several other defendants. That's kind of weird, isn't it? That's really weird. That was from the New York Times. They said he's in the same. And you remember Sam Bankman-Fried, the crypto fraudster guy.
I think they're getting their story together.
They could be. I mean, who knows what's happening? This is kind of odd. The Helene, whatever, the big hurricane in Florida. It's going to be going towards Florida as a Category 3. People in Florida's Big Bend region, much of the eastern Gulf Coast, are told to get prepared for major hurricane impacts today, and then it's going to arrive by tomorrow. So I hope everybody's being safe. It's coming up through the Gulf. The Carolinas have even been placed on notice as well. The Justice Department has accused Visa of debit network monopoly that affects the price of nearly everything, according to CNBC. The Justice Department yesterday sued Visa, one of the biggest payments network, saying that it propped up an illegal monopoly over debit payments. They said Visa imposed exclusionary agreements on partners and smothered all upstart firms. They and their rival MasterCard, they said that they've surged over the past couple of decades, reaching a combined market cap of about $1 trillion. And last but not least, Gen Z workers are getting fired by their bosses like at a record pace. Right after getting hired from college, apparently, according to a new report, they're getting fired. 6 in 10 reporters or employers say they've fired some college graduates they've recruited earlier in the year. And they said that there's a raft of problem with younger workers and that they're not interested in hiring fresh college grads. They said it is it's a work ethic culture problem with Gen Z. Whoa. We're going to have to talk about that. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Matthew, a theater major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
Would taxing the rich actually solve our problems? All of America's 550 billionaires have a combined net worth of $2.5 trillion. Even if we tax them at 100%, we'd have enough money to fund the government for 8 months.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The bottom of this first hour. Did everyone follow, or maybe you didn't follow, the story of Marcellus Williams? And we got to touch on this because there's a lot of misinformation going around. We're going to get into all the polling and everything that we usually do at this time here coming up. But this story is wild, particularly when the absolute misinformation, which I think is fascinating when the left talks about misinformation, they never indict themselves on this, has been just a record high with this story. So yesterday, the state of Missouri carried out an execution, lethal injection, on this violent convicted felon, Marcellus Williams. And it was ordered he had appeal after appeal after appeal. The Supreme Court, state Supreme Court said, nope, it's not, you got to go through with it. It's part of his punishment for his very violent crime. This guy was a career violent criminal. He was already serving, he was already convicted on a separate charge and got 50 years for robbery and something else. And then he had killed Felicia Gale back in August of 1998. He robbed her house. He ambushed her, waited till she was in the shower. He ambushed her, stabbed her 43 times, left the knife in her neck, and he stole a bunch of stuff from her house. And then here's where it gets interesting. The laptop and her purse were found in his car by his girlfriend. And there were also other things that were found. And there were things that the girlfriend, and they had like something like 20 some odd witnesses for the state that came forward, that told the, that said things in court that were never made public. That only people who knew the crime scene, who, because Marcellus Williams apparently told them everything, only things that the person who would have done it knew, he told them, and that was never made public until like way later. And it gets me because you had the NAACP come out and they tweeted out yesterday, quote, "Tonight, Missouri lynched another innocent black man. Governor Parson had the responsibility to save this innocent life and he didn't." And they go, "Oh, when DNA evidence proves innocent, capital punishment is not justice, it's murder." And they had a graphic that said a man was lynched today. That's just so offensive and insulting. Interesting, I didn't find anything recently, and I didn't find anything at all in NAACP's account about the murder of Officer David Lee in St. Louis from an illegal immigrant who ran him over as he had stopped to help at a crash site. So NAACP only cares about some black lives, not all black lives, just some if it suits their purposes. That being said, quit making martyrs out of monsters. And I do think, and there was a lot of discussion and debate over DNA evidence, but there was a lot of concrete, irrefutable evidence in this case. That is why all of his appeals lost. That is why, and there are cases when appeals are granted and decisions are stayed or reversed because of the new evidence. That didn't happen here because this guy was guilty AF. He was guilty. He stabbed this woman 43 times and left a knife in her neck. He ambushed her. He bragged about it to everybody who would listen. All her stuff was found in his car and his property. He tried to pawn her laptop. And everyone's like, well, the DNA is disputed. There wasn't this found at the scene. You can't tie this with him. I think a lot of times people will try to hide behind these exclusionary, you know, technological whatever and ignore all of the other hardcore evidence as a way to justify making martyrs out of monsters. I tweeted about this yesterday. I mean, this guy's a career criminal. Absolute career criminal. And here's the other thing that the press that was and Ibram Kendi tweeted about it, all this stuff. The girlfriend, they were trying to accuse the girlfriend, oh, well, she's got a record, and she lied about it so she could get reward money. That's a lie. That is absolutely, irrefutably false. She never asked about award money. She never made a single mention of it. That was the press and his defense team and the people who were trying to lie about his heinous crime to free him. That's what those people made up. I noticed that no one ever cares about innocent lives. No one ever talked about Felicia Gale's innocent life. She was the one who was lynched. She was lynched by Marcellus Williams. The same way David Lee, Officer David Lee, was lynched by an illegal immigrant who was drunk out of his mind, who plowed into him when he was trying to help at a crash site. If you want to have a discussion of lynching, good grief. The left is all up in arms about this. They're so upset. I mean, this guy was convicted on undisputed facts. He pawned her laptop off. And the guy was trying to lie and say that he was trying to blame other people around him for why this woman's personal items were found all on her, all in his property. He murdered her. She's an innocent victim and he murdered her. They were talking about the DNA. They said, well, the DNA technology, you know, the touch DNA and all of this, it didn't exist at the time that he was convicted and all. Nothing, none of this, though, none of the DNA, nothing ever exonerated him. Literally nothing. He confessed to it. He bragged about it. He confessed to it multiple times. He bragged about it multiple times. And then the people that he bragged about it to, he threatened to kill them if they ever if they ever shared the information. And again, the people, the informants, because they said, one of the other witnesses, it was a jailhouse informant, someone in jail that he bragged to. Well, that's nice that you want to, that's what gets me is these same people will say that Marcellus Williams, 15 felonies, and his other conviction that gave him 50 years for robbery in a completely separate case, shouldn't be used as a measure of his character. But they're super quick to try to disqualify these jailhouse informants for the exact same thing. But what's more, these informants were sharing information with investigators, with law enforcement, that were never made public. It was, none of this information was ever shared with the public, ever. The only way anyone would know it is if the actual murderer told them. That's it. I mean, he sold her husband's, it was her husband's laptop, but it was hers. He sold her laptop. The person that he sold it to identified Williams as the seller. By the way, he tried to attack a guard and escape and all this other stuff, and he threatened correctional officers and all the stuff in jail. Notice that the NAACP and all of the people who are trying to tell you that he's this gentle giant, they've never made mention of any of that. You guys didn't even know about that, probably, did you? Talking about this case. Mm-mm. Bet you didn't. Oh, but man, these bleeding heart dumbasses are all over social media. Someone said he's a deeply spiritual person and a poet, and he's also a murderer. He stabbed a woman 43 times. The evidence is irrefutable. That is why all of the appeals failed. That is why he was convicted. That is why his execution was upheld. But everyone wants to make it like, oh, well, it's racism. The real racism is the situational ignoring of crimes against minorities because it doesn't fit your Marxist agenda. The same people who are trying to say that Marcellus Williams is an innocent poet are the same people that tried to tell you that Mike Brown was like a 12-year-old little kid. It doesn't work that way. Stop making martyrs out of monsters. This guy is guilty. And people who paid attention and who read about this case know it. All of the people saying otherwise, none of these people have ever bothered to read anything about this case other than the aggregated news spoon-fed to them by media on television or social media. They're lazy. Because people who paid attention to the facts, even if you don't like the outcome or even if you don't like the death penalty, the only logical and truthful conclusion is, well, he did it. He's guilty. And that's it. Just amazing to me. I've read about this case because, like I said, where this woman was murdered. It was in 1998. I'm from St. Louis. I'm very familiar with this case. I had a friend who lived not far from, had moved in with her older sister who lived not far from where Felicia Gale was stabbed. And I remember being because we had already started like going, doing stuff because we did a college newspaper and all that stuff. And we were already going into the offices for summer. And she was like, oh my gosh, there was like tape everywhere and all this stuff. She'd never seen a crime scene before because she lived near it. And, you know, you hear something like that and you will follow it, right? Like, you know, you hear, you know, I mean, it's just natural. It's human nature. This guy was guilty as the day is long. People were saying, well, the family, you know, the victim's family wanted to have him spared. That has nothing to do with the fact that he did it. He did it. Regardless of whether or not they want him spared, this guy, the evidence was irrefutable. So, I don't know. There's a lot of bad information out there. Now, like I said, there are instances where you have innocent people. This is not one of them. It isn't. He is absolutely not one of them. And I do think it's fascinating that this guy, he attacked other inmates. He fought with correctional officers. He threatened him. He tried to escape. No. Don't you think that's kind of important when talking about this guy's character upon conviction? Because I do. I do, for sure. Now, law and order, that's a symptom of the restorative justice that is promoted and pushed by these restorative justice people. And by the way, good on Mike Parson for holding the line. Eric Greitens, that sniveling Democrat who only became a Republican and then tried to run Trump's coattails and then actually was a burden to the Trump campaign and all Republicans because he couldn't keep it in his pants and he couldn't keep his story straight, that psychopath. He actually gave this guy, respite. He paused the execution at one point. Greitens did. He caved to all that restorative justice, just like the time when he made the Capitol a gun-free zone and then tried to lie about it because he's kind of anti-gun and he thought he could make a commercial about it later and like make up for it. But no, we remember. Yeah, he actually helped and was agreeing with the defense and allowed this guy. He paused the execution. Greitens did. Yeah, because he fell victim to that restorative justice narrative. Mike Parson did. And he's like, look, the facts are the facts. Here's the evidence. It's indisputable. That's the difference between a weak fake Republican and a real Republican, by the way. Unbelievable. No, there is one less monster out on the streets. I absolutely support capital punishment. I think violent murderers should be put to death. And it is not the same. You can be pro-life, by the way, and be for capital punishment. The only way that you can't be pro-life and be for capital punishment is if you're a moron who thinks that a violent murderer is the same as an innocent baby. I mean, if you believe that an innocent baby is capable of making the willful choices of an adult violent murderer, well, then I guess you have an argument. But I don't see it that way. Now, coming up, Gen Z college grads are said that they're unmotivated and they have to constantly be told what to do. Really? I thought Gen Z was going to save us. I mean, aren't part of Gen Z raised by Gen X, right? That's what I assumed. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to talk about Kamala Harris's border visit. And speaking of Officer David Lee, why is no one talking about that? Illegal immigrants, and a drunk guy, a drunk illegal immigrant runs down this officer, 18-year veteran with the force. Kills him. And I don't really hear anything in the press about it. Definitely not anything from the NAACP. Or what about the woman who was robbed and beaten by illegal immigrants in Dallas, Texas? Governor Greg Abbott put out an order saying that they're going to go and hunt down and get rid of any gang members coming from these other countries, entering the country illegally. We're going to discuss all of that as well here coming up as we move. Black Rifle Coffee makes the best coffee that is out there. It's just so good. I mean, the flavor is just unmatched. Now, right now, if you want to maybe sample some for yourself, or maybe you have a friend who loves coffee, and I actually did this. I have a friend who loves coffee, who had not tried Black Rifle Coffee before, and I sent them this Complete Mission Fuel Kit. It's a variety sampler of classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. And so you can get 4-ounce bags, and these are all my favorites. I swear I didn't pick them. They just happen to all be my favorites. The Beyond Black, the AK-47 Espresso, the Silencer Smooth, and the Just Black, which is what I had today. Every flavor is amazing, and it comes in this really cool blue box. So it's a really great gift for people who love coffee. And this one is in the ground texture, but you can get each of these in whole bean K-cups ready to drink. I mean, they've got every variety, every kind of every sort of coffee that they make. And you can save 20% with code Dana. So save some money at this veteran-owned, veteran-run business that's dedicated to the mission of supporting vets and first responder causes as well. And also on the website, you'll find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. And while you're there, consider joining the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You can choose your favorite roast or roasts, the frequency of shipment, and have it show up at your doorstep, free shipping every month so you never run out of coffee. So get and experience the outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Let's debate. But with artificial food dyes, they have shown all over the world that they can use colorants that come from fruit.
This is the Canadian version.
This is the brightness of the Canadian version, just for visibility. And this is the brightness of artificial food dyes. So, of course, Kellogg and other food companies will argue children prefer this over this. just as they would prefer cocaine over sugar. That doesn't make it okay.
But I think...
Yeah, but that red dye tastes delicious. It's like how purple drink is delicious. Purple drink is great.
That's just your mind making you believe that.
No, it tastes sweeter. If it's a brighter color, it's tastier. These are hashtag facts. F-A-C-K-S. Facts.
I am against what you're saying.
Mm-mm. Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't have green dye number 20274 in here? Then I can't eat it. This is some...
I need my cancer.
Ain't nobody want that. It is kind of wild, though. What is it? Like, not juices, but some of these other, like, drinks, they're not caffeinated. Oh, what am I trying to think of?
Like Gatorades or Powerade?
Yeah, like some of the Gatorades, like, the brightness is way different if you get it in a different country.
Yes.
It's wild. That's one of the things that we notice, like, traveling overseas
like
and that
Fanta.
Is... Yeah. It's crazy. But, you know, I don't eat that stuff anyway, so I don't care. I don't think you should. I don't think you should just feed your kids cereal. I grew up on Count Chocula, so who am I to judge? Which, by the way, that and Boo Berry, every other cereal is hobo cereal. That's the Frankenberry and Count Chocula is where it's at.
When I grew up, we only had unflavored regular Cheerios. That was the best we had. And then when they came out with Honey Nut Cheerios, it was like...
I don't even remember.
It was like manna from heaven.
Where were the regular Cheerios? I don't even remember those.
What?
No.
A regular, just big yellow box of Cheerios? It's just regular, no flavor? It's just like toasted oat rings? You've never had that?
No.
Oh,
no.
All right. Well.
I don't. I like the Fruit Loops, but we usually ate the Fruitios. You know, the hobo bag that you get in the store.
The what?
Yeah, if we didn't have a coupon, we didn't get it. And there were lots of times that we didn't have a coupon, so I was not allowed to get the Fruit Loops. I had to settle for the Fruity-O's. There's all kinds of very creatively named products. Yeah, you know. We got second hour on the way. More of the Dana Show coming up. Partners for this portion of our program, it's Tax Network USA, 88,000 new IRS agents. They've been, you know, Inflation Reduction Act, which didn't do anything to reduce inflation. They've expanded the IRS to the nth degree. And there are a lot of people that are getting those pay up notices. Maybe you're one. Maybe you have back taxes or unfiled returns. Well, you can get help with Tax Network USA. They have a proven track record of saving their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They are experts and they're reliable in providing you with tax relief. And they will do everything that they can to ensure you get the most favorable outcome and secure for you the best possible resolution for your tax issues. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, regardless if it's personal or business, they have the tools and experience to handle literally any situation. And they'll help you resolve your burdens effectively, whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. They have tailored solutions to help you. So don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. They'll help you resolve your tax burdens once and for all. tnusa.com/Dana. Welcome to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. One of the things that I cannot get when looking at this story that has to do with Iran and I think this was last week. Was it last week when the story came out about the hacking into Trump's campaign by Iran and that they were looking to get information and they were giving this information to what, Democrats or something like that? And Democrats and the people in the media apparently don't think this is a huge deal, which I think is super weird. But okay. I mean, you have Iran, which is a major geopolitical foe to the United States. I mean, their slogan is pretty much death to America. They've killed an untold number of American troops. And they're also in the process of attacking Israel right now through its proxies of Hamas and Hezbollah. But they just had a report getting into Iran looking to assassinate Trump, right? So isn't it weird? I just think it's weird. I was looking, let me pull this up too. This is from the Free Beacon. And this was a couple of days ago. Well, no, sorry, it was yesterday. And the Free Beacon has the story about how the administration was trying to cover up the suspension into one of its lackeys for mishandling classified information. And they're being accused by some of making it look like they're colluding with Iran. It was this Inspector General report that came out. And they said that it was the State Department's handling of the suspension of this guy. He was able to access classified information. The reason why this guy is so important, oh, he was just the envoy to Iran. Remember that Robert Malley dude? He's just the envoy to Iran. No big deal. He had a security clearance pulled last year because he was accused of mishandling classified information. And then the briefing showed he was still permitted to take part in classified activities. I don't know what, like, you know, class, I guess, get classified material, things like that. And that's from what other people there have said is a total breach of protocol. They said he was treated differently than any other employee would have been treated had they also been accused of a major security breach. And the situation with this Iranian, this envoy to Iran, this Malley guy, was withheld from senior State Department officials, including his own deputy, apparently. So I'm putting all of this on the table. So we have this cover up, right? We have this report where, you know, apparently the ongoing threats to the former president from Iran. You have two attempted assassinations on the former president of the United States. Why is this not more discussed than it currently is? I mean, why are we still having any kind of negotiation or ongoing just basic discussion at all with Iran related to the agreement that, you know, the Obama Biden made with them, etc.? Why are we even doing, if you have a country that has hacked the campaign of a former president, is there some relation to the two now attempted assassination? I don't know. And then you've got this Iranian envoy who was mishandling all this classified information and had his clearance pulled, but apparently was still allowed to just do go on like he didn't have his clearance pulled. He was an Iranian ally. He's currently under investigation to determine whether or not he's a spy. I'm just curious. And then there was the letter that the second dude wrote in which he said that the DOJ released without any qualms or reservations at all, in which he said that the guy wanted to pay six figures to someone to finish the job. Was he going to, I mean, I look at all this stuff and I'm like, was he going to get the money from Iran? I mean, I feel like that's a legitimate question. I'm not stating it. I'm not doing the trick of stating something as a question when I really believe it. I'm actually asking it as a question. I don't know. It feels weird. Doesn't it feel weird? It's weird. Why is there not more discussion over this? I don't know. And there's just a lot here. I was looking at this other story, and I think Josh Hawley was talking about it when he was on with Jesse Waters. I'm going to be on Jesse Waters' program tonight, where they were saying Secret Service was interfering in the election by informing Trump they couldn't secure a rally for him in Wisconsin, even though Harris had. I don't know. I've got a lot of questions, right? I got a lot of questions from this. It seems weird. And then why would you have this guy have his security clearance pulled and then you're still letting him take part in all of this stuff? What in the world? He also worked with Antony Blinken. And this, it was May of last year that he had his credentials pulled. So I think he sounds like a spy. I mean, if you sound like a spy and you're doing spy stuff, I'm going to pretty much assume that you're a spy. So they said that he was supposed to attend a classified Senate briefing May of last year. He failed to show up. Lawmakers were asking questions. The State Department said, oh, he's on extended personal leave. The State Department lied to lawmakers about really why he was out. And the IG, when they began investigating, they noted that the State Department handling this mess, that they, I mean, it was a mess. It was a disaster to begin with. He still was able to access a substantial amount of sensitive material. They had the State Department that was lobbying to restore his access to all the internal email systems, and they needed him to be able to communicate with his team and other governments and all this stuff, even after he was mishandling classified information. State Department was just real all in for him. And they think that Malley was the one who leaked classified information to Tehran. And the Free Beacon has been all over this. They've been writing about this from the get-go. In July of last year, they noted that he was being investigated, that this Malley guy, this Iranian envoy, who may or may not be a spy, was being investigated, and that even though he had a that he was leaking classified material to Iran, he was literally holding secret talks that were not sanctioned by our government with Iran at the UN. He apparently had a history of holding unsanctioned meetings. But I mean, in 2008, the Obama campaign fired him because he had a secret meeting with Hamas. That seems pretty important, right? Seems kind of important. So, don't know. I got some questions. I got some questions about all this, as I think anybody else would. So, putting all this together, I don't know. Is there? Just kind of wonder. Is it all related? I don't know why this question doesn't come up with Harris more. You know? That's something else to ask. I don't know why this question doesn't come up with Kamala Harris more. By the way, speaking of Harris, why aren't people asking her about the Diddy case? Right? Because she was AG. She was the top cop. The photo that's going around where she's said to be a picture with him, that's fake, obviously. But she has said she was the top cop. A lot of the stuff was happening, and a lot of these accusations were being made, and a lot of the investigation was happening when she was Attorney General of the state of California, and even when she was a senator. She's from California. That's her jurisdiction. Why didn't she do anything? Seems like a legitimate question too, right? Stop asking legitimate questions, Dana. Don't you know that J-Law endorsed her? Jennifer Lawrence endorsed her? So Jennifer Lawrence, she's mad because people are saying that she's stupid because she didn't graduate high school, and she's weighing in saying that if you don't vote for Kamala Harris, then abortion's going to get banned, which is literally not what's happening. So maybe the accusations about her intelligence status are not far off. She has said that she's going to protect reproductive freedoms, and she doesn't want abortion to be banned. By the way, abortion was never banned. It's now it's being determined by the states because the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction to deal with it. And that's something that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was warning everyone about. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg was saying that there was no federal protection, that it's something that she was even indicating this is a state level thing. But none of the far left, you know, abortion, my baby people, none of them ever actually did enough at the state level, if they cared so much about it, you know, to protect it. Yeah, she said, J-Law said, we can't let somebody in the White House who's going to ban abortion. That sounds like somebody who's dumb. Like, you don't have to agree. No one's demanding that. Well, I mean, no one's saying that you have to acknowledge or be on the same place on abortion in order to come to an agreement on the simple fact that nothing's getting banned. There isn't a ban. There is a limitation, but there's not a ban. And Lawrence, you know, doesn't get into any of this because I don't think she knows. But how dare you say that she's stupid? That's sexist or accurate. Sometimes it's just accurate, not sexist at all. Remember when she didn't get all political and she was way funner? And what happens to these actresses? Like, at some point, it's like they get just super dumb and on politics, and they just nag you. What happens? Like, how does that happen? She used to be fun, and then she's not fun anymore. I don't know. Just, I don't know. Let's see here. A couple of other things to get into. Because we've got we're going to talk more about the Iran situation and all of that as well. We've got some culture. Did you hear about this kid in Missouri who got in trouble at school because he made a gun out of soda cans, but not like, don't misunderstand me. He didn't make a functional gun out of soda cans. He literally lined cans up on a surface, just like in the shape of, like whole cans in the shape of a gun. It looks like a lowercase K, honestly, if we're being real about it. Burn a gun. It's the non-firearm firearm. Burn a gun is there to give you options for self-defense when others, whether it's private property or the state, tries to minimize or reduce the number of defensive options that you have. I like to carry everywhere I go. There are some times when I can't, and I have friends who live in D.C. and in New York, and even if they have one of those very hard-to-get licenses to carry, they still can't carry everywhere, and this is where burn a gun comes in. It's a non-firearm firearm that doesn't give a rat's backside about your gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period, no background check, legal in all 50 states, and it'll send right to your front porch. Their most popular model is the Byrna SD. And so Byrna guns, they shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats up to 50 feet away. The Byrna SD has a 5-round capacity. There's many models. The Byrna SD is just their most popular, and the people that I know have gotten them have gotten the Byrna SD. And law enforcement actually has been incorporating them, certain departments, as options for threat de-escalation. So they created this so that you have options, and nobody wants to be a statistic. And it's good to have a diversified selection of weaponry at your disposal. To learn more about Byrna, visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Personal information of more than 3,000 congressional staffers was leaked across the dark web in a wide-ranging cyber attack, according to reports. An internet security firm founded over 1,800 passwords used by staffers available in the dark web. It was according to the Washington Times and Newsweek. They said that the firm, which is based in Switzerland, they estimated that 1 in 5 staffers had personal info available on the dark web. And it came from social media, dating apps, and adult websites. You skanky people. Look at you. They said that a single staffer had 31 passwords exposed online. How do you remember? That's crazy. That's so crazy. Drinking 3 cups of coffee linked to preventing multiple diseases. Yes, especially if it's Black Rifle Coffee. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. A new study says that your morning brew might be doing more than perking you up. It could help you with heart conditions. The Endocrine Society researchers found that drinking a moderate amount is associated with a lower risk of developing cardiometabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. I need more. They said consuming 3 cups or 200 to 300 milligrams of caffeine per day could help reduce the risk of cardiometabolic multimorbidity. I have to say that slow. Or in individuals with any kind of cardiometabolic disease. Interesting. So what is cardiometabolic multimorbidity? Well, in addition to sounding like a really cool electronica band name, it's a scientific term for having 2 or more cardiometabolic diseases at the same time. So see, that's what that means. Yeah. Bird flu. They keep saying bird flu is evolving because they want to shut everyone down and make you miserable. That's the truth of it. Oh, I actually don't care about bird flu. I really don't care. Don't care. Unless I had a parrot and it got sick, I don't care. Or a macaw and it got sick, I don't. Literally don't care because it's not going to hurt me. I'm not affected. Don't get fear-mongered. Argentina scrapped its rent controls and now the market's thriving. Look at that. I know, Javier Milei. The fiscal shock therapy, it's yielded lower rents overall. And they said that the market is just now and it's just exploding. I'm just saying Argentina sounded pretty cool. You know, things go sideways. Although they could go the other way real quick, I feel. California passed a law to ban or restrict smartphones in schools. This is what I don't like. The government doesn't need to be doing this. This is just parents and schools. Parents be active. So the government's like, you're not doing your job. I see the need to fill it with some law. I see the need to exploit your uninvolvement with some laws. Stop it. They're banning smartphones in schools. And they have, they have 5.9 million public school students. And it's Los Angeles County, which started it. Now they're doing the whole thing. The Surgeon General called for a warning label on platforms. It's not a conspiracy theory, really. They want to put labels on them like they do with cigarettes. I think it's all about making sure that I'm a little sus. I don't think it's all about mental health with controlling kids on social media. I think it's about preventing the next generation from being able to access free and fair discussion on social media platforms. Just saying, I really do feel like that. So I don't, I mean, just watch what your kids are doing. Make sure it's stranger danger. Make sure they're not talking to no kid touchers. Make sure they're not, you know, spending an unhealthy amount of time on social media. But this idea of restricting it with kids, I honestly feel like there is a push to try to prevent the next generation from being as online and engaged in debate and being able to look out alternative sources for news. I think it's about information control. I really do. But they're trying to disguise it as like mental health and they're looking out for your kids. We should come back to that. We got more in store. Stick with us. Partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Kel-Tec. It's the P15. The P15 should be your choice for concealed carry. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack, 9mm on the market. And it's made by the people who invented the micro compact pistol category. That is Kel-Tec. There's the metal version and the polymer version, and both come with two magazines, standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension. You also have flush fit double stack magazine that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, lifetime warranty, compact, easily concealable, and it's from Kel-Tec. Quality, performance, innovation, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Dana Lash here with you. Man, that pocket bookmarking system, I want to find the people who make it, and I want to beat them up in the middle of the street. Pay $44 for this thing to help with your show prep, and it doesn't work. It just stops working. So I'm like complaining about it because if I don't, I'm going to throw my monitor. It's just one of those things. Did you guys see the man of the people, by the way? What's his face? Harry Walls? Sorry. Timmy Walls? Walls? He was hanging out with Soros's kid. Did you guys see that? Mr. Man of the Peeps. He was hanging out with George Soros's son. I don't know if you saw that or not. Yeah, it just, you know, just he's just such a man of the people, right?
The same George Soros that just took over 200 plus radio stations in the United States? That George Soros?
Yeah, oh. You know, him. He was Tim Walls, who hates it if other people have upward economic mobility. He was chilling. Twitchy has this story. He was hanging out with, I don't know what it is. It's a weird, he had a picture with Alex Soros. I guess at Alex Soros's swanky penthouse. He said it was his home and it looks like a doctor's office. It's a super swanky penthouse. It looks like a legit doctor's office. Can I just say that I hate modern design? It's soulless. It's purposefully without beauty. Don't sit here and tell me about the lines. It's all just a soul suck. It really is. Modernity, scrap it. But he was in his penthouse, you know, the common man there. I don't know. I just, and it's weird. Like they look awkward. But he's just hanging out with George Soros' son. Yeah, the same Soros. I made this point on air the other day when we, well, actually, I was talking about it last night when we had on Brendan Carr, FCC. About the Soros Fund, that group that's buying up. They bought up, what is it, 40-something, I can't even remember how many millions of dollars of debt from Odyssey. And I think I wrote about it I think there's a piece out about it. Or I put it at least in your headlines. I'm trying to think if it's one that I sent out yet or if it's one that's being drafted. I had to think for a minute. But you should have it. It's because I had my interview there with Brendan Carr. The fund, they're now a major shareholder. They bought up like, I think it was like $400 million of Odyssey's debt. Now, the way that the restructuring deal goes is that is all going to convert to equity after the restructuring, the post-bankruptcy restructuring. So they're not going to be the majority shareholder, but they will be, the George Soros Fund will be a major shareholder. And remember, I had asked Brendan Carr, I'm like, well, what does this mean? I mean, is that mean I could be kicked off air? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, it's very true. So if I talk unflatteringly about Nepo babies and, you know, that's Huma Abedin and Wiener's boyfriend now. If I mean, will that, you know, who knows? Maybe it will. What gets me is that you can bypass laws if you have deep enough pockets. If your pockets are deep enough, you can bypass the laws that everybody else has to go by, because it is a foreign entity and there are restrictions. Some of them come from NatSec concerns over foreign entities purchasing up broadcasters, American domestic broadcasters. So they have to go through like security evaluations, which the George Soros Fund got to skip entirely. Now, I know Carr said when I asked him in our interview that one of the, because the George Soros Fund said, well, we'll come back in a year and we'll go through all the security stuff. I don't believe that they will. Brennan Carr thinks that they will. I don't believe that they will. But Democrats facilitated this. They helped this to happen. They enabled this entirely. The other thing about this, the other point that I made, is all of this talk about misinformation or disinformation, whichever word I guess that the left chooses to use. I'm always amazed whenever they discuss it, it never comes up about the Soros group. I was looking at this piece that, I'm going to pull this up, forgive me. I was looking at this piece that gets into the Harris campaign. They've been using fabricated headlines from a progressive dark money organization that spreads purposefully fake news, like actual fraudulent stories, to these equally fraudulent news outlets so that they can pretend that, look, this is a legitimate story. Look at this legitimate story. They have like these fake looking, like the Courier newsroom, things like that, like fake looking news outlets that they use to spread this information to, so that then they can repost it and it seems like it's a legitimate news entity that is reporting on it. If you want to have a discussion about what is or isn't fake news, why is it that the Soros group is never mentioned? I mean, again, thanks to assistance from Democrats and the FCC, they got to bypass the law of the land to acquire the second largest broadcaster in the nation, and they are actively funding propaganda. The Courier newsroom, for instance, and this is some great reporting by Greg Price, the Courier newsroom spends millions of dollars on ads on social media, and they present as a news entity, even kind of like how Media Matters tries to do. But Media Matters also is tax structured differently. Courier newsroom doesn't have to register with the FEC as a political group. Their whole point is to present as a fake news, like an actual legitimate entity, a propaganda entity, so that they can help elect Democrats. They're like an activist organization. And Soros and all of these other big, wealthy Marxists, they all fund the Courier newsroom. In fact, the Soros, this was probably over 10 years ago, the Soros group, because he also has the Tides Foundation and all this other stuff, they wanted to fund and give money to local newsrooms around the country, state by state, which I thought was kind of a dangerous thing, because the nature of the group and the nature of the things that they choose to fund through that organization, it's very partisan, it's very activist, and it's introducing that activism all the more into these local news outlets, which if there is any conservatism left, it really is like left beyond a couple of maybe national publications, and that's it. It's really in these local, state and local entities. And that's one of the things that they wanted to do. So this is kind of an extension of it. In any realistic, fair world, this would be an FEC violation, but it's not here. It isn't. And so they make it look like, oh, here's a legitimate news story. I'm not familiar with this outlet, but it looks legitimate. But they don't market as such. And so a lot of people think it's real, actual news, and it isn't. But why is that never discussed? Like when Hillary Clinton talks about jailing people for disinformation, or when Bill Gates, we played this audio soundbite yesterday, when he questioned how it's legal for people to share information that would maybe have someone reconsider getting a government injection, aka the non-vaccine. Why is this stuff never considered? Why is this never considered misinformation or disinformation? I feel like that's a completely legitimate question, right? But, and it's not. It's never considered as such. And you would think that that would make lawmakers all the more eager to impress upon this entity going through this acquisition a legal evaluation before, at the very least, before going through. I would, regardless of if the entity was agreed with me or not. I look at it like this. I don't like to break the law or bend the rules for something, even if I agree with it, because chances are at some point there is an issue on which I will disagree with that entity. And we live in such a politically tribal environment that the moment that happens, it's viewed as betrayal and then revenge is sought. So I never want to bend the rules and make it easier for anybody like this, because the moment you do, then it's no different than the left. And I don't want to do it because, again, even if it's somebody I agree with, at some point I may disagree with you on something. And people get vengeful when you do that. So I don't want to, I don't want to be in the pocket of somebody like that. So at the very least, if I was a lawmaker, even if I agreed with them, the Soros group, I'd be like, yeah, no, we got to do the evaluation. We got to go through. We got to check this. This is super sketchy. We have to make sure that, you know, these aren't foreign entities that are controlling our airwaves and controlling our information. We got to make sure. But keep in mind, and don't never forget, it was Democrats at the FCC who did this. They will be further empowered after November. I fully can't. If we lose the House and the Senate, we'll have a fairness doctrine. I'll probably be taken off air. I don't think that that's me being. I am so not hyperbolic or dramatic. It is actually like Kane gets aggravated with me because I will literally undervalue the intensity of an issue because I'm so robotic about it. I just eschew all drama. That said, I legit think that if we lose everything in November, conservatives will be taken off radio airwaves. Of that, I have no doubt. They've tried before. They tried it with fairness doctrine. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, just to give you some historical perspective into this, conservatives did so well on radio because there's progressive thought is so prolific. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's on cable. It's on traditional, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, all of it. It's in your newspapers. It's, you know, even permeating sports. It's everywhere. You actually kind of have to silo yourself away to not get that perspective. You have to go really make an effort to go to an alternative something to not get that in your everyday consumption. And conservatives were so successful in radio that they tried to level the playing field. Then when digital exploded, conservatives, the algorithms in that, this was never a problem. The reason that was introduced is because conservatives were so successful organizing and fundraising online, it scared the hell out of the left. A lot of people think that the left was better at it because Howard Dean was the first modern day candidate to create this digital fundraising apparatus. And it really was conservatives that were able to outmaneuver it. It was to the point where the left created, this was like 15 years ago, the left created this thing called Netroots. It was where all the left would get together and they would brainstorm over how to fight against the conservative digital onslaught. And there were so many stories that were getting broken and busted. I mean, digital everything, whether it was Drudge, Powerline, those were the guys that found the documents with Dan Rather and George Bush. I mean, it was all of these digital entities and then social media, the right continued to dominate. And so that's when progressive activists began pressuring people like Jack Dorsey and all these other folks that owned them at the time. You need to do something because we're not winning on the battlefield of ideas. So we have to tilt the battlefield. And they introduced algorithms. That's how all of this started. because when I first got on digital, conservatives were such a dominating force that progressives couldn't get a word in edgewise. And it wasn't until they instituted all of these different hacks into the system to silence conservative thought that progressives started kind of getting on a level playing field. That's how bad their ideas are. That's, by the way, I mentioned this over headlines, why I'm so cautious over limiting kids on it. Teach kids how to use it better and responsibly. Don't ban them from it. Do not fall into the trap of preventing the next generation from being able to access the same fair and free discourse that you enjoy. And that's what I think some of this is. We got a lot more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, whether you're a business, a family, families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes. They've got something for you. And with Patriot Mobile, you can get a free month of service when you sign up today. They also offer you the absolute best coverage. They have nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service, but your money is not going towards DEI and abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer, advocacy or gun control or any of that. They don't fund any of that stuff. They put momentum behind things like parents taking over their school boards from freaks. That's what they do. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. You can get free activation using code Dana. 100% based, U.S.-based customer service team, too. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get that free month when you use offer code Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today. Code Dana for free activation, too.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This first headline. A Florida man almost died. He got a lap dance from his housekeeper. Was his name Arnold? Last name rhymes with Mortzenegger. Florida man almost died while getting a lap dance from his housekeeper. The incident happened in Tampa. And the maid... Oh, it's one of those maids. It's a skanky maid that will skankily clean your house at $300 an hour. I bet she doesn't do a good job either. She said that she was cleaning this dude's house and then he just about kicked the bucket. She had to call the ambulance. Can you imagine telling first responders, well, what happened was my maid, who is a topless maid, ended up. Yeah. Can you just imagine? He apparently lived, but still that's, maybe he learned his lesson and got like a decent, like an actual cleaning crew. I don't know. This is such a Florida, this is such a woman driver story. It almost seems mean to put Florida in front of it. Florida woman was rescued after a crash left a Porsche dangling from a Florida parking garage. So help me.
Oh, man.
Dude. She was rescued. This was in Coral Gables. It's a Porsche SUV. It was dangling from the third floor of a parking garage.
What was she doing?
Driving. She's a woman. That's what she was doing. She said that she accidentally hit the accelerator.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like she was parked. And because it's in a parking spot, it looks like she was parked. And then she crashed through the walls. You can see in the image that Juan's showing. And then people said that they heard like the screeching tires and then like the impact, the sound of impact. And I guess she was going to try to back up and she accidentally hit the accelerator or did something and like drove right through. Oh my gosh. A Porsche SUV driven up right through. She's lucky she's alive. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Welcome to the program, Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can watch on Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also find us on Rumble, where the chat happens, X as well. I just saw that Richard Branson had tweeted about this Marcellus Williams case, which we were talking about. This is so ridiculous. I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of it. He tweeted, Richard Branson, right? He tweets, Marcellus Williams, well, let me do it in British accent because he's British and, you know, he's never stepped foot in the air. He's never stepped foot in U City. Marcellus Williams was killed today by the state of Missouri for a crime he didn't commit. It's a shameful day for Missouri and a shameful day for Governor Mike Parson, who failed in his duty to protect an innocent man from injustice.
What the hell is he talking
He kept going. And first off, Richard Branson, he might have made a lot of money, but that doesn't save him from being a dumbass, number one. Number two, he wasn't innocent. Number three, all of the accusations about the girlfriend just wanting reward money, she never actually asked for reward money. If you want to have a discussion about disinformation, the disinformation is claiming that she did. And number four, the family never said that he wasn't guilty. The family just said that he should serve the rest of his life in jail, but they never contested his guilt. And so at that point, it's out of the victim's family's hands. Sometimes the court listens, sometimes it does not. But when someone is guilty and punishment has been rendered, the state will follow through. The evidence is absolutely irrefutable. All of the arguments about, the DNA didn't prove. Well, they didn't have the ability to test the DNA like they do now at the time of his arrest, but they found all her belongings in his car and his property. They had tons of witnesses come forward. Not only did he repeatedly confess to killing her, but he also bragged about it in jail. And the people in jail who were telling law enforcement about what he was saying. And by the way, do you know why? Because he had a separate charge where he already got convicted for 50 years for another very violent crime. He was a career violent criminal. He was bragging to the jailhouse folks. And the jailhouse folks came forward and were telling investigators things that were never, ever made public. No reporter knew it. Nobody aside from those sworn to secrecy who were working on the case knew the details that these jailhouse informants were telling them. The only way that these jailhouse informants knew of these very unique details to this case or if they committed the crimes themselves, or they were told about the crime committed by the person who did it. And that's a very interesting fact that is completely glossed over by folks like Richard Branson or everyone else who wants to parrot what they read on social media without getting off of their lazy, flat ass and doing the legwork themselves and actually reading about this case. This woman, Felicia Gale, the murder site, I used to go, there was one of the dance studios when I was younger that I used to go to in U City, and it was literally down the road from where she was killed. And everybody in St. Louis knew about this case because it was so crazy. It happened in like the fancy part of U City. And I think that's what made it so, you know, you would think of, well, don't walk on the loop at night because then you might get accosted, you might get robbed. No one ever thought of someone breaking into someone's house. And that's what he did. He broke into her house. He got a butcher knife. He waited for her to get out of the shower and he stabbed her 43 times and left the butcher knife in her neck, stole her stuff. And he had blood on his clothes, all of this. The evidence is legit irrefutable. So all of these people who are trying to wax feelings about this monster, stop martyring these people. I the worst people get picked, but you know what ended up happening? What about Officer David Lee? Notice that Richard Branson, NAACP, none of them had any time to, nothing to for David Lee. Officer David Lee, the funeral arrangements were announced yesterday evening. He was killed Sunday. He was responding to a car accident on Interstate 70. And he arrives and he's trying to help the people involved. And this individual who was in the country illegally, who did not have a valid driver's license, drunk, and it's 8:30 in the morning, the guy's drunk out of his mind, plows right into Officer David Lee, killing him. The individual that they arrested, Ramon Chavez Rodriguez, was in the country illegally, didn't have a valid driver's license. And again, 8:30 in the morning and he's blitzed. Officer David Lee was an 18-year veteran of the St. Louis Police Department. The public outcry for him, non-existent. I guess that's not the sort of, that was an innocent black man, but I don't see Richard Branson saying anything about him. You might say he was lynched by the illegal immigration policy supported by this administration. you know, if you wanted to go that far. I bet NAACP is, they're saying that a monster who brutally murdered a woman and had all of her stuff on his person and had people informing on him who knew the details that were never made public about the crime because he bragged about it, a crime that he confessed to repeatedly. You know, they wanted to, those, you know, he's innocent and he was lynched, according to those people. I mean, Richard Branson, when he's tweeting about this, barely had a word to say about Felicia Gale. No one ever cares about the victims, do they? Oh, he's like, oh, and yes, spare prayer for Felicia Gale's family, of course. He literally said that. Prayers for her family, of course. Shut up. I didn't ask what a British person thought about Law and Order in St. Louis, Missouri, right? I don't go to his Necker Island and knock the hookers off of his lap, so I don't think that, you know, you need to be coming into the United States and sitting here telling us how to run our Law and Order system, correct? I just take a little bit of offense to that. Stop making martyrs out of monsters. But this, it's sad because this is there. These people are promoting disinformation. Again, another example of purposeful disinformation. And these are the people who want to regulate speech. And isn't that the problem, first and foremost, when you're discussing disinformation? You have to pause and determine whether or not it's true. And that, in some respects, can be tricky, like with COVID. So much information coming out all at once, right? It was the fog of information. And everyone's trying to evaluate and figure out what is true, what isn't. And then when you learn what the truth was, the people who didn't want you to talk about it, they said that it was false. And the stuff that was being censored were the things that were true. And the stuff that was false was the stuff that was promoted as the truth. And then now the government wonders why no one trusts it. Of course. And I don't know if you'll ever be able to recover that kind of trust. I mean, that could take a generation to recover. And then you have, you know, the, what was the lady who, the musical lady? It was essentially like a truth ministry that they wanted to set up. What was it? The office of whatever, that Nina Yankowitz lady. Hang on. What was the,
it was something in governance.
Yeah. She was basically going to be like the ministry of truth leader is what they were going to try to do. They were going to have her be the, she ended up writing a book about it. Of course she did. They were going to, oh, it was the Disinformation Governance Board, Ministry of Truth. But it was the Disinformation Governance Board. That's what they wanted to establish. I am against anything like that, even if it's a Republican running it, because you may have a Republican running it, and then you may have a Democrat running it. And I don't want ever a Democrat in charge of something like that. The problem that people get into with this sort of arguments about disinformation is you have to think, well, what are the other associated consequences with this action in order to deal with this problem? Bottom line is that in a free society, people must be free to believe stupid things. Like, people must be free to believe that Marcellus Williams, despite the overwhelming evidence that every jury rejected and that the Missouri Supreme Court rejected, and even the family that maintained his guilt and just wanted him to spend life in prison, you have to allow people to be free to believe stupid things like Marcellus Williams is innocent. That's stupid. I would never call for someone to be denied the ability to express how stupid they are publicly. I like to know where the dumb people are. I don't know about you, but I want to know who the dumb ones are. If you have government regulations on speech, in addition to it being a violation of the First Amendment, it also gives and protects the weak, stupid people amongst us, the people that you want to know are dumb, right? You don't want to unknowingly form a relationship or a friendship or an association with someone who, if they were free, would sit here and talk about how heat doesn't melt steel, the earth is flat, and you know, all kinds of, and there's and all kinds of other stuff. You don't want to engage in that kind of thing, or that Marcellus Williams is innocent and is nothing but How did the Innocence Project put it? They said he was a spiritual poet. They listed that as one of the reasons why he wasn't guilty. I'm not even kidding you. The reality of our situation. I don't know. Well, I don't know why Richard Branson, and Richard Branson, when he tweeted that out, he did one of the things where it doesn't allow comments. Thank you. Doesn't allow comments. And they're going off on Mike Parson and the state of Missouri. They're angrier at the people who upheld the penalty more so than they're angry at the guy who actually committed it. Marcellus Williams was guilty as all get out. Guilty. I don't want to sit here and, I mean, do you want me to tell you the details of the case? They are really, really grim. It's rough stuff. I mean, this guy waited for her, heard her in the shower, grabbed a butcher knife out of her kitchen and waited. You know, he was at the door, he knocked on the door before he busted in the house, before he got in the house. And she heard something. And she apparently had asked, who's there? Stabbed her 43 times. Think about that. Think about a butcher knife being plunged into the chest of someone 43 times. At some point, beginning with the first penetration of the knife into her chest to the 43rd, at some point there she was already dead. But he kept going. He kept plunging her own butcher knife into her. Over and over and over and over again. And then after he murdered her, he stole her belongings. Took her laptop, which was her husband's laptop, took it. Had her purse in his car. Tried to sell the laptop. The pawn shop owner who he tried to sell it to identified him to law enforcement. And then he bragged about it. Because he's so big and bad. Other thing not mentioned is how he fought with the corrections officers in jail, tried to escape, and was violent in jail. Oh, but they want you to believe that he is just this peaceful, deeply spiritual poet. Well, he can read his poems to Satan because he's in hell now. We have a lot more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So iron deficiency in adults may actually be more common than previously thought. According to certain pharmacological specialists, they say that it's very common, but it's underappreciated. It is a public health issue. They think that nearly one in three Americans may have an undiagnosed iron deficiency, which can lead to fatigue and brain fog and difficulty concentrating. They looked at data of more than 8,000 adults in the U.S., and 14% had low iron blood levels, which is known as absolute iron deficiency. 15% had right ones, but their body could not use the essential mineral properly. And then there was functional iron deficiency, according to JAMA. So interesting. So that's maybe just check when you go in for your yearly checkup. Cocaine apparently found in mummified brains that reveal that the New World drug came to Italy 200 years earlier than previously thought. And suddenly, Hunter Biden became a huge, huge fan of mummies and wants to learn all about them. Yeah. But apparently, traces of cocaine discovered in mummified brain tissue reveal that Europeans were chewing cocoa leaves, possibly for medical or recreational purposes, a lot earlier than previously thought. Who goes, I'm going to munch on this leaf so I can be, you know, blitzed out of my mind. Who thinks of stuff like that? Like, how did people, I read this meme where it's like, how did people first learn how to eat mushrooms? Like, you know, if you like mushroom ravioli or things like that, like that one will kill you. That one will make you trip beans for days. And then this one's delicious, you know, with some cheese. Like, how does that work? Street turned into an Ibiza foam party. I don't like foam for parties. That's disgusting. I don't like baths either because it's people's soup. So I don't do the whole bubble bath route. That's all nasty. And then a woman in Britain found out she was dead after she read her own obituary online. That's weird. Stick with us.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, I just think that when we live in such a crazy time and we're dealing with, you know, assassins and, you know, domestic and international, maybe with Iran, maybe, and this is audio soundbite too, maybe your commerce secretary shouldn't talk like this. Just saying.
What he says is the opposite. It's just another lie. Like, how did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good. We have an answer. We have a remarkably talented candidate who is sincere, who's pragmatic, who's open.
Extinguish him for good. Well. Huh. Okay.
What if Republicans said that?
Can you imagine if Republicans talk like that? Do you remember when the media got really mad when I did not burn a copy of the New York Times? I just held it next to an open flame. I was like, burning it is just too trashy. I don't care. It's just cliched. And people are like, oh my gosh, they lost their minds. People were like, it got so out of control. There were headlines like, is Dana Loesch inciting violence against the New York Times? All kinds of crazy stuff. I don't give these people a pass at all for the stuff they've said about me over the years. Things I've literally, like, I've never said at least half of the stuff they've said I've said. I mean, you can see it for yourself. I've been on air for 3 hours a day, every day, for over 10 years. And I've been on air every day. I mean, every week starting in 2008 and then, what, 2009, it was every day. So, come on. But, you know, disinformation and stuff. I just feel like Gina Raimondo should not talk like that, right? Just seems like she should be a lot more careful about her words. Speaking of misinformation, this is one of the reasons why I get so mad about this. Do you remember back in 2020 how you couldn't go to church? Your kids couldn't go to school? Maybe you had to postpone your wedding. Maybe you couldn't have anybody at your wedding. Maybe you lost someone dear to you, a loved one, and you couldn't be there in their final moments because of all of the lockdown regulations. Stores were closed. You maybe could go outside with a mask on. That's about it. Well, then this story. I'm kind of amazed at this. Did you hear about the story involving what all of the people who were coming up with the regulations and enforcing the regulations on you and your family, did you hear about what they were doing in their own private time when you couldn't go out and do anything? Washington Examiner has this story. The former COVID czar in New York City. Do you guys remember him? He was the architect behind the social distancing that they used in New York and the policies about vaccines. The headline, New York City's former COVID-19 czar actually attended sex parties during the pandemic lockdown. The guy who made everybody mask up, avoid large gatherings, and a lot of what they were doing in New York was copied and duplicated in states across the country. He apparently was attending sex parties in a 200-plus person dance party at the time. Dr. Jay Varma, he was the senior public health advisor to, at the time, Bill de Blasio, who was mayor. All of these recorded conversations that were where he was caught. And this guy, and I mean, just think about this. What's the word I'm looking for? The policies and the regulations that he came up with during lockdown. They took what they were doing in New York, and they started applying it everywhere else. Like, oh, what they're doing in New York is clearly they know better because they have more people there. So, you know, they're probably doing the best to try to keep everything under control. So he was admitting to this, all of this stuff. He was admitting to all of these things. And he even said that he was they had like these parties in their hotel rooms and they invited people. And he was like, you know, he says I had to be kind of sneaky about it. And that was just like one example of these people who were affecting these policies on all of us. They were not following any of their guidelines themselves. None of them were. This is what I mean with like the disinformation stuff. They were censoring everything that was true. Everything that was true. Now, this was from Mike Lee. He tweeted this a little bit ago, that back in January of 2022, why did Iran make a video of Trump's golf course and his house in Mar-a-Lago? Can we roll some of this video that Mike Lee posted? And the reason being is because of we don't need to go through the whole thing, but up until at least, let me pull this up. I want to get up until at least like 15 seconds in. Because one of the shots in this video, Kane, as you would know, particularly at the 8 second mark, is wild. It's exactly probably what the second assassin saw. And Mike Lee noted that it was first made by Iran and released on the Ayatollah's official website in January of 2022. I don't know. I question everything. It seems too convenient. You know, doesn't it? This is part of the video that Juan's getting ready to show you. It's like aerial footage of Trump's house at Mar-a-Lago. It's so weird. This was on and then the shot that you're seeing now, that's what the second assassin saw. What in the world? So that video was posted. It was back a couple of years ago, but it was posted on the Ayatollah's website. I just got to say, and it's all totally fake. I got to say, do you believe, let me ask you, Kane, I want a gut check here. All right. You can tell me, for the folks listening, if this is too tinfoil, is the Iran thing just garbage and this is actually just a deep state thing and they're using the Iran thing as cover?
That's possible. That's absolutely possible.
Because I think JFK, I think that was a deep state thing.
Yeah, a lot of people totally believe 9/11 was.
I think LBJ was in on it. That's just me, though. I got some ideas. I got some theories. I'm not saying a fact. I just, you know, it's just opinion.
Of all the entities that have that ability to do that and the PSYOP, and the level of cooperation with the media, it's definitely the deep state. So, yeah, it's possible.
Just saying. I don't know. I got some questions on that. That video is weird, though. That's just too convenient. So a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're getting into. We're talking about the COVID stuff, talking about the Iran stuff. Missouri, Harris going to the border this week. I wanted to talk about this Missouri teenager. Just because I want you guys to see if you're watching the simulcast, the actual gun that was made. So in Mountain View, Missouri, a student at Liberty Middle School was suspended because he took a picture. He used Dr. Pepper cans and he made a gun with his Dr. Pepper cans, like not a functional gun. He literally just lined up the cans on the bed and they kind of look like a lowercase K in the shape of a gun. The student's name, Riley Grundin. He's 13 years old. And when he went to school, he was told that he needed to turn himself in to the district central office over concerns of an online post. And when the mom went there, she was shocked. He was given a 3-day suspension. And that someone had felt uncomfortable because of what he had put on social media. And you can see Juan's showing you the image on the simulcast. Literally, it's 5 cans stacked in one row. One can and another can, like for the stock and the grip. And then you've got one can that's, I guess, supposed to be the optics on top. That's literally it. So he was suspended from school for 3 days for that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he's 13. The school said it was threatening. What? How? He's 13 years old. He's, you know, there's good grief. And the mom is completely right. She's like, he didn't do anything wrong. And she was upset. Absolutely. She goes, there's staff who post pictures of real firearms and they go hunting with their kids. And they even post pictures of their kids with firearms that they hunt with. He had to undergo a search before he was being allowed back on the premises. And it's going to be on his permanent school record. He's going to have two counts, one of cyberbullying and the other of making a school threat. And he wasn't cyberbullying. He just made it with the cans and he posted it online because he thought it was funny looking. That's it. And the superintendent, Lana Tharp, who is a moron, said this, quote, "We have enough information to believe the video had caused fear to at least one student, and understandably so."
What?
Okay, if my kid came to me and said, "Mom, there's a picture. Somebody posted a photo of a rifle made out of cans. Here's the picture of it." I'd tell my kid to grow some balls and stop being super sensitive. Are you kidding me? My kid would never come up to me with anything like that. Whoever, and it probably wasn't the kid. It was probably the dumb parents. Clearly. It was completely a Karen. Good on this mom for sticking up for her kid, because there's nothing wrong that caused fear to one student. You know why? Because adults brainwash kids into thinking they got to be terrified of inanimate objects. And meanwhile, turn your blind eye to the real threats out there. We had, she got fired from the school, but one of my kids in school, he and his friend drew pictures, and they were in junior high, and it was, they were in a study hall. They got their work done and they drew pictures of army guys, like guys, like U.S. military soldiers, battling in a firefight with terrorists, ISIS terrorists, right? And they, what do soldiers in a firefight with ISIS terrorists carry? Guns. And the woman teacher saw that what they were drawing and sent them to the principal's office. And she really was hoping that they would get in a lot of trouble for that. And my husband and I, it's funny because we're always like, okay, you know, my husband's like, I'll be bad cop, you be good cop. And I'm like, okay. And then I roll in immediately and I'm bad cop. And Chris is like, we can't both be bad cop. So he has to be good cop, because I immediately roll in and I have no tolerance for this stuff. I'm really cool, but I am pushy as all hell, as you can imagine. And I had told I let the administration know in no uncertain terms that the teacher, because the teacher was a leftist who one time said that Jesus was a socialist. And that was really fun correcting her with tons of biblical citations on that one. And she ended up getting fired, and a lot of parents were complaining about her. This is Texas, come on. And I made it very clear in no uncertain terms that there was nothing wrong with this, that this was the teacher who was harassing and bullying the students due to her very well-known public, very far left-leaning beliefs. And that if my child was suspended, I was going to take him on a field trip and I was going to buy him a gun that looked like one of the ones that he had drawn. And that I was also going to try to look at my legal options to go after the teacher for harassment. And I would be very public about all of it. And needless to say, nothing happened. And then she ended up later, enough parents complained about her and that she was fired. She ended up being fired because she was really far left and very, I don't mind it if you're lean to the left, but don't harass kids based on your idiotic partisan beliefs. And I feel like that's what was happening here with this kid. And for someone to go, oh, well, there was a, first off, you're teaching, that's not what threat assessment is. You are horribly, horribly damaging these kids by telling them to be afraid of everything that is not an actual threat. But then when it comes to real threats, you tell them that they have to turn a blind eye. When it comes to a young girl going into the bathroom and seeing a grown ass man in there, oh, well, you better just stuff all that down to where you can't feel it anymore, because you're a bigot if you feel like your safety's in danger. Then they tell kids not to be afraid of actual threats. Be afraid of the silly stuff that isn't a threat. That is abusive and it's damaging to kids. And adults who do this are themselves predators.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Are you ready? Let's hear it loud and clear like we said. Mr. Trump, Mr. Vance, please mind your own business.
Oh, Gwen Walls. Gwen Walls, the woman her and her husband literally created a snitch line. The woman who loved the smell of burning tires during the riots. Why isn't that a fall scent from Yankee Candle? It's the newest large jar candle from Yankee. It's pumpkin spice burning tires. Over 110 hours of soothing fragrance. Do you like pumpkin spice? Do you, like Gwen Walls, love the smell of burning tires and destruction? Well, that's what Yankee Candle aims to bring you with the Minnesota Governor First Lady Yankee Candle Spiced Pumpkin Spice Burning Tires. This iconic jar shape, it's shaped like a burning tire itself, so that you can remember that fun fall time when you could smell fall in the air with burning tires and hear the screams of a city in turmoil. Only from Yankee and Gwen Walls.
Relive the nostalgia of Minneapolis burning.
Mm. Oh, and we selected the best natural fiber wick for each fragrance to ensure a full burn. Just like the tires. Mm. Why is that not a product? It ought to be. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right. It's one of the View harpies. Sunnyless. Sunnyless hosted. This is her talking about how she believes Biden will go down in the history books. Listen.
See, but I truly believe that his legacy will be etched in the history books as Washington.
Oh,
as someone
on.
Who put that ego aside and
oh,
put his
car. Oh, my gosh, Barb.
They're
I'm
trying to already rewrite history. So thanks, View, but no thanks.
No, exactly. Folks, make sure you sign up over at the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. There's some stuff that's going to be coming out for you on that. It's at Substack. Also, find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back on air with you tomorrow.